Let's go right now to Christine Hong, professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz, recently co-writing a piece, Lurching Towards War, a postmortem on strategic patience. And she said the escalation of military threats and tensions on and around the Korean Peninsula point to a resurgence of war as a plausible scenario. Christine, professor, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are doing fine. You kind of scare me with what you write here, and we're not reading too much about it in the U.S. media right now, but you say what has gone underreported is China's readiness posture. Its military is on high alert, and history tells us, does it not, that could be a very dangerous scenario?
Yes, I mean, you know, President Xi just came out saying that you know, China would not tolerate the selfish actions of any one nation within the area. And there were some in the U.S. media who immediately understood that to mean North Korea. But others, including the AP, suggested that it could be a veiled reference to the United States. And, you know, the basically the strategic plan of the Obama administration vis-a-vis its global foreign policy has been a pivot policy. And, you know, this is announced by Hillary Clinton. It was announced by Leon Panetta. Basically, this policy requires the U.S. to shift its military resources and personnel away from the Middle East to Asia and the Pacific. And the goal is less about a dangerous North Korea, but actually about an economically powerful rival, China. And so what Hillary Clinton said was that Asia represents America's economic future. And so what we've had is, you know, the other thing that's underreported is the fact that when the U.S. brings military hardware into the area, when it transfers mine-resistant armored vehicles to the Korean Peninsula, when it increases South Korea's ballistic range so that it can strike North Korea, when it announces the completion of nuclear bunker busters for use against North Korea, when it appoints all these special operations commanders that were in the Iraq and Afghanistan theaters of war to the Korean Peninsula, China also knows that these kinds of displays, including these massive annual war games that the U.S. naturalizes as not provocative, but are gigantic and simulate the regime collapse of North Korea and the U.S. and ROK joint occupation and administration of North Korea, and also simulate nuclear first strikes. You know, when we see this kind of aggregate sort of action on the part of the United States, North Korea is in many ways playing the only card that it has available to it, because during the entire first term of President Obama, there has been no meaningful engagement from the United States to North Korea.
Well, China seems to be pretty giving some pretty strong language toward North Korea. I mean, you know, issuing some thinly veiled rebukes to North Korea for raising all these regional tensions that seem pretty clear from their statements that they were not at all happy with North Korea's saber rattling at this point.
But, you know, it's not just, it's, we have to look at this in perspective. North Korea has completed, yes, three nuclear, you know, tests. The United States has conducted over 1,000 of them. And although, you know, the United States is saying that North Korea is the reason for its military resurgence in the region, let's keep in mind that this has been a long-planned policy blueprint on the part of the Obama administration to reallocate its resources to the Asia-Pacific region. And so anything, but we should be very clear, China may find it necessary to try to take measures to sort of persuade North Korea to tone things down as well.
All right. Christine Hong is a professor at the University of California at Santa Cruz. Thanks so much for your perspective.
Thank you, Professor. We appreciate it.